Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
You want to know a secret, Thomas? You've helped me today. I really should thank you. Seeing you with Nathan, seeing you touch his little hand, you reminded me of something. I would. Remember what it's like to be me.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm David.
And this is House Podcastica Westworld Edition.
This week, we're covering Westworld Season 3, Episode 3, The Absence of Field.
The Absence of Field. This week was supposed to be the absence of Jason because I was supposed to be on vacation in Mexico.
Now it's the absence of the absence of Jason.
That's right. That's such a trip. So let's get right into it. Top 5 highlights for Westworld Season 3, Episode 3, The Absence of Field. What did you think of this one?
I enjoyed the episode as I do every in this show, because it's a great show. I love the characters. I love the story. That said, I did not think this was one of the stronger episodes in series history. There still definitely were parts of it I enjoyed. There were actually parts of it I'm going to criticize, which we'll get to as we get to part of this. And that's not usual for me. I usually feel this show is really well crafted, but I thought this episode had some clumsy parts.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page with you. I thought it was a bit melodramatic, and it was probably one of my least favorite of the whole series, and yet still I enjoyed watching it, and there were a lot of intriguing things about it and cool things about it too.
Yeah, I agree with that. Still, for a regular episode of television, very good, very compelling, but in the scheme of this series, I think it was one of the weakest episodes they've done.
Yeah. And one thing, just while we're kind of on the negative tip right now, I feel like the cyberpunky music that they played in the first episode and again in this one, it gets a bit overbearing. I like the music, but it's loud and it's continuous to the point where it can be a little bit distracting. Do you feel that way at all? Or is it just me?
I like the music, but I know what you're getting at. There's been a lot of subtlety in that space in the history of this show, and now they've gotten a little more direct, and I think overbearing at times is a good word.
At times.
I still think the music's really good.
Me too, yeah. But sometimes I notice I'm like, I wish they'd turn that down so I could hear, and that's never a good thing.
Yeah,
exactly. And I've been watching it with the subtitles on, even though I don't normally like to do that, just because I don't want to miss anything.
It's a smart thing to do. Karen regularly watches TV with subtitles on, and I turn them off.
Yeah.
But I turned them on a couple times. I rewound and turned them on to make sure I got it right.
Right.
In this one. You're right. They were hard to hear a couple times.
Okay. Let's get into our proper top 5. What's your number 5?
Okay. So I figured I'd just get right to it. As number 5, which is the heart of this episode, Charlotte Hale.
Right.
Who is she? Is the central question of this episode. I actually thought it was quite interesting that her personality was breaking down. within whoever it is inside of there, the personality seemed to be showing signs of instability, which we saw very interestingly in past episodes with James Delos and with the Man in Black. So that even made me wonder, is she a human? Right. That's why the personality is breaking down. But then I guess we don't really know what one host transplanted into somebody else's body would be like.
Yeah.
So is that why?
Yeah, because she says, you're talking like them. They don't have impulse control. And I sort of wondered if, because the hosts can be pretty impulsive, and it kind of reminds me of how Mr. Spock is always saying he doesn't have human emotion, but he kind of really does sometimes.
Right. That was the whole thing with Mr. Spock.
Right. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. So here are some of the things we know about host Charlotte. She knows Charlotte. Like, she knew the real, she or he knew the real Charlotte Hale, and that she had tried to kill all of the hosts.
Yeah, because when Dolores shows her the mirror, now let me show you who you need to pretend to be. She's like, Charlotte Hale? Oh.
Right. And I thought this was really well acted by Tessa Thompson, because she has to take in a lot of aspects of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. There's the uncertainty and the self-harm. There's the parental love, and then there's her usual predator persona, which she already was before. Right. So the character did get a lot more complex.
Yeah, Evan Rachel Wood has said that Westworld is like the acting Olympics, because you have to just have all these different filters on who you are and how you've changed and everything like that.
And it's like the decathlon, not like one race, not like the 100-yard dash. But so... I think they're leading us to think it's Teddy, right? That would be the most obvious.
Especially with the spooning scene, which mirrored them spooning. I think it was the night that she was with Teddy right before she was going to change his parameters, right? I think, to be more aggressive.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
And I think it's possible it could be Teddy, right? She put him directly into robot heaven.
Yeah.
But she still had his control unit.
It's unclear, how that worked. I mean, I really got the impression that the idea was he was gone and it was all scrubbed, but I don't know for sure. I mean, they can say whatever they want to say on the show.
Right. So that's a question. But then, like, other ideas, could it be... And it's obviously someone she knows well from the way she behaves and talks to the person or the host.
They seem pretty intimate.
Yep. So could it be her dad?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be Dolores herself? Is there two of her?
Mm-hmm.
She says, you know, I know you really well, better than anybody.
It seems like if it was Dolores herself, I mean, maybe that she would have had a more specific reaction to seeing herself over there, you know? But maybe they just wouldn't have her have that reaction, because then it would give it away to the viewers. But you know, still, it seems like she would have been like, how come... there's two of us or something, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. One theory I saw online that I liked is, what if it's just the Wyatt personality? Like, if she found a way to split off part of her personality. Although the Wyatt personality still seems to be in her. She's like the Terminator.
Yeah.
So
and Wyatt doesn't act like that. I mean, I've also read, like you just said, what if it's her, but the more farm girl aspect of herself.
Right.
Innocent and everything.
And then I thought about, like, Angela.
Yeah.
Was one of her top lieutenants, but I don't think her control unit exists. Right?
No, we presume it blew up.
Right. And then at some point when she's dealing with a different kind of predator, Charlotte says, I remember what it's like to be me. You're not the only predator here. So that seems like a clue. Somebody that's got some aggression to them.
Yeah, good point. See, now I took that to mean she was finding her identity as Charlotte Hale, but maybe it was more like, now I remember, you know, maybe she's someone who is more aggressive.
Right. So it occurred to me, like, is it the Man in Black? Is it? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It could be anybody.
Right.
Is it another Bernard? There were multiple Bernards before. That doesn't seem likely. It doesn't seem like him. So we're still not sure about the other pearls, right?
It could even potentially be someone we don't know. I don't think that's likely, but just to put it out there.
It could be. You're right. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's likely, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was the really, I think, the central story of this episode, and it's sort of delicious to speculate about.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you would think that once it's revealed, it's going to be worthy of being kept as a secret because of whatever. I don't know, because I don't know what it is, but you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, it's that person. So, right. I have no idea who it is. Let me see. I have notes about this. Anybody else? I mean, did you mention Clementine? I mean, she was damaged.
I didn't mention Clementine, but we talked about that when we were watching the episode. And that was my take on that she was kind of brain damaged.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not sure technically whether that means the pearl or just the control unit or what, but it doesn't seem like it could be her.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that made me focus on that a little bit was that when Charlotte, I call her fake Charlotte, when fake Charlotte or host Charlotte wakes up, she was sort of channeling Clementine a bit, her timidness, I guess. Clementine could be timid sometimes, but I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea who it is, and I hope we don't have to wait too long to find out.
And we assume it's not Maeve, because we've seen her control unit elsewhere.
Yeah, I would assume not. I mean, you never know. It could be anyone. I mean, we haven't really talked about whether these hosts can be just copied full sail, right? You could copy that control unit and put it into another identical body or a different body. Seems just as possible as anything else.
Right. So with this show, you always second guess yourself. So I think they're setting us up to think it's Teddy as a misdirection. But sometimes things that seem so obvious like end up being inevitable, like, hey, an iPod and a phone, put it together. And, you know, they actually did that.
Yeah, so, it could be that they're trying to make it seem obvious so that we won't think it's that, but then it really will be, and they'll be like, haha, we got you.
Yeah. So, anyway, delicious mystery.
I would be shocked if it was Teddy, only because it does seem like they were trying to make that the obvious thing, but you never know. Okay, so my number five is the absence of field, which is a line from a poem written by someone named Mark Strand, who I've never heard of, in 1979, called Keeping Things Whole. And the poem goes, "In a field, I am the absence of field. This is always the case. Wherever I am what is missing. When I walk, I part the air, and always the air moves in to fill the spaces where my body's been. We all have reasons for moving. I move to keep things whole." So I think the obvious reference there is when Charlotte's assistant Irene is telling her about Serac. The man's a black hole. He's completely invisible. There's nothing about him online anywhere. Every single record has been scrubbed. But like a black hole, we can infer his existence. And it's interesting that he's the richest man in the world and no one's heard of him. It's like he's as improbably invisible as Arnold was. So it kind of fits with this series because I've already done something like that. It makes him a good villain because he's basically the Illuminati that conspiracy theorists talk about. You know, we don't know exactly who they are, but they're controlling everything.
Right.
But
the stonecutters.
Yeah. But also, this concept of the absence of field applies to fake Charlotte, I think, because she's in this space where the real Charlotte used to be. And so everything around her, the way I see this episode, is it's shaping her into becoming more like Charlotte, the real Charlotte. And she resists it at first. As we said, she didn't like seeing Charlotte Hale in the mirror because none of the hosts like Charlotte. And she's saying things to Dolores like, all this time pretending, living her life, her skin, I feel like I'm changing. What the fuck is happening to me? Dolores says, Hale was always ruthless, a predator. Perhaps you've come to identify with her too much. And host Charlotte says, it's like she's trying to take back control, like she wants to cut into her skin and rip me out of her head. Now, I didn't take that to mean that Charlotte's consciousness was in there somehow. I thought it was more like walking around in Charlotte's life is sort of influencing her. And it, like with Charlotte's son, Nathan, who senses that she's not the same, and he's saying things like, you're not my mommy, and you're not doing it right, and all this kind of thing. And that was really kind of heartbreaking. He says, I want my old mommy back. But I'm not sure he was saying, I know you're a robot. I think it was more like, something's different here, right?
Well, first of all, whenever there's a ghost around, dogs, foreign housekeepers, and little kids know it. Adults are oblivious.
But yeah, I just felt so bad for that kid.
Yeah. So, I think, first of all, it's a beautiful poem. Just really elegant and sparse, but really has some feeling to it. So it was neat to get to know that. I hadn't heard it before. It's interesting to me that your first impression was Siroc, because that does make sense. He's sort of a hole where something is supposed to be. But I didn't think about that. I thought of Charlotte first.
Mm.
Who, as you point out, is the she is the absence of the real Charlotte.
Yeah.
And everything in her life feels that, but it also is working on her. It also occurred to me that it's Dolores also. If you think about wherever I am what is missing. When I walk, I part the air, and always the air moves to fill in the spaces. It's also talking about something that is at odds with the natural world or interfering with the natural world. And that's kind of what she is. She's sort of an alien in this world, upsetting the system, upsetting nature. So I think, like many things in this show, it applies to multiple characters.
Yeah. Well, specifically with host Charlotte, it was interesting to me how she's having this identity crisis. And she's obviously very upset. She's saying, who am I, a few times. And she's saying, tell me it won't always be like this, that we'll be able to be ourselves, to Dolores. And she says, we will. So she's really struggling with trying to inhabit Charlotte and wanting to go back to being who she was. And she's not picking up her son, and she's kissing her ex-husband, and it was actually a little weird that she seemed to know who her ex-husband was, but she didn't even realize that Charlotte had a son. It seemed like she was surprised. I wasn't sure what to make of that, but then in the end she ends up embracing, and of course, you know what I didn't mention is she's cutting herself, and it just seems like that's a manifestation of her angst over this whole thing. But in the end she embraces Charlotte's qualities, which the two pillars are being a predator, and now what we've learned in this episode is that she's a mother, a protective mother and a loving mother. And this pedophile guy wakes both of those qualities up in her, and she immediately knows that he's a pedophile because A, he's stroking Nathan's hand in a creepy way, but also that he had this device that disabled the cameras in the area. So lots of worst kind of people ever kind of type people on the show. He's one of those. But anyways, choking him, she says, you reminded me of something. The harder I squeeze, the more I remember what it's like to be me. You're not the only predator here. I mean, just through this whole filter that I've been talking about, to me, that's her kind of claiming, okay, fine, I'm going to embrace these qualities. I'm going to actually love my son here and protect him. And I'm going to be the harsh predator that Charlotte Hale is, and just kind of getting in touch with her inner Charlotte metaphorically. So that's sort of my take on it. I don't know. There could be more to it than that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the title does refer to this poem specifically. There is another meaning of that phrase, which is to lose your field of vision. Mm. And I've actually had an eye doctor refer to that. They talk about, have you lost your field? And which means, is what happens when your retina detaches.
So what do you see? Nothing?
You would see nothing out of one eye.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's what they meant in a double meaning by this title, but it's kind of applicable also, because there are so many instances in this story where somebody sees only half the picture or part of the picture, or can't see everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what moves the action of this story is the characters trying to figure out what they are not seeing. So as I say, I don't know if that's a meaning they intended, but I kind of took that out of it as well.
I mean, that, yeah. And that would go with host Charlotte through most of this episode. She's seems like she's at least thrown off, whether or not she's actually not seeing. She's at least not having a good time of it.
Right. Well, I think we figure out she's the mole before she does, because who else would it be?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she doesn't know it.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, we'll get into it, but to find out that Charlotte Hale was a mole, that was a big piece of new information that we got here. And it totally goes along with everything that we've seen her before, because what Serac wanted from her was all the guest data. And that's exactly what she's been trying to get over the first two seasons.
Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
Okay, what's your number four?
Okay, so my number four, and some of these threads pick up right on what we were just talking about, are some things I did not like about this episode,
okay,
which is a very rare one for me, but in this case. So the whole story of the hostile takeover seems a little simplistic and implausible to me. Now, it did become a little bit more believable with Charlotte as a double agent, because maybe she's been working actually to cover it up. But just in 2058, with the access to big data and as big and sophisticated and powerful and data-oriented a company as Delos is, you know, for Charlotte's assistant all of a sudden to say, oh, by the way, this has been going on all this time and somebody essentially bought out our company and we didn't notice, that does not seem believable to me.
Mm-hmm. What they said was that, not to say this is, makes it more believable, but that he was able to surreptitiously buy controlling stock in Delos, well, 38%, using hundreds of, I would think, dummy corporations, snatching up stock in microtransactions for years. So, right. Yeah, that was their explanation of how he would hide it.
It just seemed a little silly and convenient that this is the moment and all of a sudden this would be discovered. I had some trouble with the whole plausibility about Serac also. So he is essentially the father of the system. This idea that there's a hole in the world economy of $1 trillion, which is where he must be. I mean, there'd have to be many players hiding money in a sophisticated system. It just was all a little bit of, to me, a little bit of gobbledygook that kind of sounded sophisticated, but was actually just a little silly.
I felt the same way about Arnold. It was always hard for me to believe that there could have been a co-founder of the company that no one had ever seen a picture of.
Yeah, nobody remembered. Yeah. Maybe some... I can be a stickler sometimes, so sometimes maybe you just have to forgive.
I mean, we don't really have any choice, but we can mention that, right? We don't like it.
Yeah. The part of the episode I liked least was the Charlotte message to Nathan, her son. Mm. So her as a loving parent, like breaking down hysterically in this life-threatening situation, that part of her character, I just found it hard to swallow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty jarring.
Yeah, everything we know about her, I don't think she would behave like that.
Yeah.
And I know they're painting it as it's her one vulnerability, and it just, I don't know, I just had trouble with it. It didn't seem like her.
I mean, you know, I can believe that people compartmentalize and that she can be a cold businesswoman when she needs to be and also a loving mother, but it just felt like Nikki and Paolo on Lost. It just appeared and felt out of place.
Yes. and it was more the her hysteric affect.
Yeah.
More so yeah. than that she has a son that she secretly cares
right.
about.
Maybe if she would have just done it in a little bit more of a self-possessed way, it could have been more believable.
Yeah. So a couple other questions I had, and I wouldn't go as far as to say I disliked these part of the story, but I thought they were a little thin or asked for some acceptance. Now, maybe I'm wrong about this one. You could correct me if I am, but I didn't think we got a real explanation of how Dolores knew every detail of the Caleb's mother abandoning him incident.
Well, we know that she asked Martin, who's a host that's infiltrated Insight, for information on Caleb, and he's able to access at least to some level all of this data that they have because of their AI. But we don't really know how they have a complete exact transcript of his conversation with the waitress about his mom 20 years ago or whatever it was. I mean, I just presume that every place you go, they have like a Amazon Alexa that listens to you and records
it. Right, that they're
all.
Just big data is gathering yeah. every camera image, every piece of audio. That could be possible. I just thought it was left unexplained.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
I think the how the host bodies react to a life-threatening situation is pretty vague.
Yes.
We have seen evidence in the past that a blood transfusion can help.
We have
back in the park.
Okay.
I think on a couple of occasions.
Forgot.
But again, it's just sort of conveniently vague. Like, is she really dying or not? Did the oxygen
yeah.
help her or not? Then she drives away and seems fine. There's no explanation of how she got fixed.
She's still, like, she's in the ambulance. And I did like that they're like, there's no adrenaline or cortisol in here.
Right.
So it's like, okay, they need to look and feel real, but they don't have to be physiologically accurate. But
yeah.
then
it made me wonder if any EMT would they not be aware of androids at this point? Maybe
yeah.
not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting question. I feel like the androids are not out in society, so they're still kind of exotic to people, you know,
yeah.
in another
Maybe
20
you just
years.
Wouldn't think of it.
Yeah. yeah. But so then she's laying there, and I think what I keep thinking back to is when Man in Black shot her like 5 times and she was the Terminator and didn't even hardly flinch. But I think the idea that's inconsistent, and the idea is that she is supposed to be hurt because she stabbed the guy that was one of those goons and she shot the other one, but then she was limping off with Caleb. So I think the idea
right.
is that she was supposed to be hurt, but she just, you know, summoned enough strength to do what needed to be done.
Yeah, and then here was a logistical question that came to mind. And again, I'm probably being a little bit of a stickler here. But it occurred to me to wonder, so Dolores escaped the park in Charlotte's body, and now she's in a Dolores body?
Mm-hmm.
How did she do that? Like, how did she transition from one body to the other?
Yeah, that's a good
like,
question.
Like, wouldn't someone other than her have to pull that off? So, anyway, I just thought all of those things were a little less crafted than usual.
Yeah,
this week.
Because before this, we did not know. We knew that she had made a Charlotte and a Bernard, but we didn't know that she made a Charlotte before anybody else, and then she was in her Dolores body talking to Charlotte. So
right.
this is the first time that it doesn't really make sense, unless there's some kind of an automation that we didn't see where it can like take the host, the Pearl, and just go
and put it from one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it from one to the other automatically. I guess
yeah.
again, it's plausible, but no, explanation
you have to make the
offered.
Leap. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah, the things that you're mentioning are the kind of things that we can come up with explanations for, but we kind of have to make a little bit of a leap.
Yeah.
Okay, my number four is about, we've talked somewhat about this before, but just the control that Rehoboam and Insight has over society. Dolores says they've made it so easy, the way they built their world, it won't take much to bring it all crashing down, and that's because Rehoboam already controls so much. It's just like a central control that if she can gain control of, she can mess some shit up. And there was an interview with Evan Rachel Woods where she was talking about how predictive algorithms can shape what we do. She said, when you sign on to Netflix, it says, oh, you watch this show, you'll probably like this show, and then you start watching those shows. But then after a while, you go, well, do I really like these shows, or am I just watching them because the algorithm told me that I would like them? Imagine this digital trail that we all leave, emails, phone calls, everything you like, everything you dislike, everything you retweet, everything you search on Google, the people that you speak to. Imagine if it was all compiled. Imagine if they just took all the data and they just put it into a big machine and could determine what your next move was going to be or what choices you were probably going to make. And in the future, they were able to do that to the point where they could determine how you were going to die and how you were going to live your life. The system could then determine who they want to invest in and who they don't want to invest in. And so that just kind of shows, I mean, we already all know this, but that we're already on track to this kind of thing. And when Dolores shows Caleb his profile, it says overall assessment, unfit for social promotion and reproduction, mortality index, projection, suicide, 10 to 12 years. Overall scoring, social score 2.7, marriage not recommended, children not approved, occupational score 3.6, restrict to manual/physical, restrict social interaction, allowed occupations, armed forces, manual labor. And then there's a timeline of his life, high school graduation 2042, army enlistments, skull fracture in 2048, 2049, death of his friend Francis. It says formative PTSD trigger. And then the last two entries are for romantic relationships. One in 2053 that lasted 2 months, ended by subject. And then the last one, it looks like it says system interference, which suggests that Rehoboam decided, no, these two, it's not good for my plans for society that these two are a couple. So I'm going to, like, I don't know, show them some negative stuff on social media that makes them sour on their relationship or something like that. So it's just all sort of reinforcing the stuff that we've already talked about, how in this world the people are almost under as much control as the hosts were in Westworld. And even like we've talked about that implant in the roof of Caleb's mouth, it's that Insight product that we saw the one guy use, Mellow Sunshine, in the first episode where he just wanted to help himself go to sleep, and it can also be an upper. But here they show that you can, they turned it on, forced him to turn it on, and raised his heart beat to 200 beats per minute. And it's like warning, cardiac arrest possible. So it's just sort of more of a reinforcement of that theme that, that people are totally under control in this society.
Well, I think it's the heart of what this show is dramatizing. It's what Black Mirror was also about. And we are perilously close to that now. This does not even feel like a far future story. And I think Evan Rachel Wood put her finger on it in a way I haven't really thought about it before, which is that, yes, like a Facebook or a Netflix algorithm is proscribing your choices, but it's also writing your future script. You are writing your own future script, but with your past script, and narrowing your own choices by your past choices.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that maybe that was true before all these sorts of algorithms, but it seems accentuated. And that is a really good point. Like, do I like this show, or do I like it because it told me I would, or just these are the only choices I got?
Yeah.
Or these are the ones that were put in front of me.
And that this is a related subject, how we're so politically divided in the country is in part because we're seeing the kind of news that we've responded positively to. And it's so it's sending us down these funnels that can get more and more extreme for one thing, but also just play to what they know we'll like. And so we're seeing just different realities. Among
or to use the term from Westworld, we're stuck in our loops.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And I think we're going through that in a very real and disturbing way. And I don't think most people are that aware of it. I think a lot of people who think about it may be aware of it to some degree on Facebook, which has gotten a lot of publicity, although probably many people are blind to it there too. But I don't think people pay a lot of attention to it, say, on Google. And that your search results are individual and that you will get different search results on any topic than mm-hmm. someone else would. I think that tends to be pretty invisible to us.
Yeah.
When we go to watch a TV show on Netflix, I think that's pretty invisible to us.
Like when I go to another country and I search Google and I get such a different list of results that are sometimes local to where I am, it's so jarring. That's what sort of shakes me up to go, oh, this isn't universal. We're all seeing different things. And how do they choose what we're going to see?
Yeah. One interesting one I've thought about is that, and I'm sure the AI may get sophisticated enough to know this at some point, but I don't know if it knows it now. So, for instance, Karen and I share a Netflix account and we watch a lot of stuff together, but some stuff separately. So I wonder if it just thinks that Karen has both of our tastes.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that affects what we get in some other algorithms.
You mean Netflix might sell your information or something?
Correct.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, this isn't totally, but we had a house sitter for a while and she watched Netflix on my account. And so now I just keep getting all this anime that I don't care about.
Start getting anime ads on Facebook, you'll know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What's your, number three?
So my number three, and again, coming off of the same topic, is the Battle of the Creators. The show has a lot of creator mythology around it, and a lot of the drama in the show has to do with what the creator intended and what their creations intend. And I would say, already as of this season, but especially as of this episode, I would now call Dolores one of the creators.
Mm-hmm.
So she's sort of creating an army or a revolution. So I would say the creators are originally Arnold. Then it really became Ford, the controlling creator. I think you would put Serac in this category.
Mm-hmm.
And now I would say Dolores, who is creating a movement, revolution, an army, but also exercising iron control over her creations. She has control over the Charlotte Hale. She has control,
she owns
maybe...
her.
Right. She has control maybe over Bernard, or at least he's afraid that she does.
Mm-hmm.
To everything she creates, she's building in a command structure that gives her Dr. Ford-like control.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting to me that she offered Caleb a choice. I'll give you money and you can run away, or you can join my revolution. And that felt uncharacteristic to me and maybe just a symptom of the writers of the show wanting her to be more likable, because in season two, Dolores would just use everybody, which goes along with kind of what you're saying. But that was like just the one thing that stood out to me where it was a little different.
Yeah. And I would say she may have still been manipulating there. Yeah, she gave him a choice, but I think she was pretty confident of what the answer was going to be.
Yeah.
Did it occur to you to wonder if he might be a host?
No, not until you just said it. I mean, I have wondered whether this whole thing is some kind of a simulation that we're seeing right now.
Yeah. I felt vindicated too, because I've gotten a little confused as to place a couple times. And I think it's basically supposed to be San Francisco and LA.
Yeah.
That they're going back and forth between. But I said to Karen at one point, is that Singapore? And she said, no, it's LA. But then it turns out they are using some images from Singapore.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because some cities look more futuristic, so they're borrowing from that.
Right. And Singapore has that crazy building that has like a park on top of it, on top of the three buildings. So I felt like that.
Is that Delos headquarters or somewhere else?
No. Remember the building that had sort of the forest built into it?
Yes. Yeah. I love
that. Yeah. So I felt like they got the idea for that from Singapore, the actual building.
All right. Anything else on that one?
That's it.
Dolores and Caleb's interest in each other. I was trying to figure out, why is Dolores interested in Caleb? In the making of segment afterwards, the showrunner said something about how Dolores only sees the worst in people in the park, and so Caleb might come off as a breath of fresh air. I'm like, yeah, I mean, when I play Grand Theft Auto, as I've mentioned before, I tend to try to be a good guy and not just be a sadistic bastard. So you would think that there were some people in the park like that, but I think that idea here is that no, they're seeing the worst of humanity. So anyway, Caleb helps her. She says that surprised her. Usually she can predict what people are going to do, but he made a choice no one else would have made. So he stands out to her, and she's been learning that most of the people in our world are controlled just like they are in hers. So she checked on his file and learned that he's a textbook case of being kept down and caged. Then I was like, but yeah, but still, why would Dolores think that Caleb would be useful? Well, maybe because he used to be a soldier, so he's got some skills. He's also shown that he's brave and he's fierce and fearless in a fight. And it might even be useful that he's, you know, what is his job? He's running fiber. He's a construction worker. And maybe she needs someone who knows their way around like industrial tech or something like that. So at first it wasn't totally apparent to me why she would go to so much trouble to do all this for him, to try to sway him to her cause. But I'm just trying to find some reasons there. Did any of that occur to you?
I didn't really think about that. It's a great question. But what I did think about is we keep hearing about divergence in the system. And the unexpected.
Yeah.
Things that are unexpectedly upsetting the system in an unpredictable way. And I wonder if maybe he's part of that somehow, and we don't know why yet.
I mean, he is now, because Insight
thinks... Because he saved her.
Yeah, and Insight thinks that he's going to kill himself in 10 to 12 years. And maybe he will, but it seems like he just chose a different path. He'll probably be dead next week. Who knows?
Well, so, and my logic may be a little convoluted, but follow me on this.
Yeah.
So we've already seen Serac, who resurrected Maeve and wants her to kill Dolores. Mm-hmm. We've seen him express a lot of worry that a war is being fought and it has already been lost. But up until now, the measures they've taken against Dolores seemed pretty standard and confident of success, if that makes sense. They've sort of tried to kill her in pretty routine ways.
With goons, right?
Yeah. I mean, they could have sent an army.
Yeah.
So maybe he is an unexpected factor.
Mm-hmm. So that would be a reason to use him, just because they would not think of it?
Or we just don't know why. Maybe she knows something about him we don't. Mm-hmm.
And then I was trying to think, well, why would Caleb be interested? That's a little more clear, but we saw in episode one, they did a really good job of painting a full portrait of him being a depressed person. His mom is in, you know, medically in trouble, and he has PTSD, and the world's keeping him down. He can't get a job. And now in this episode, it's confirmed to him that there's actually a conspiracy to hold him back. And then if he continues on his current path, he's probably going to kill himself. So it seems pretty attractive to the idea that maybe he can break free from all of that. And also there's the thing about how he's felt like everything is prescribed and nothing feels real. And I could totally see how meeting someone like Dolores would just be just be so attractive, you know, for one thing, she's attractive. I'm sure that doesn't hurt, but just seem more real, like just a break in the loop, a break in the routine. And so
he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah. He's, as he says, he's going to be dead anyway. Although he could have just taken that money that she offered.
That's true. He may come to regret that.
He may.
I still feel like we're going to learn more about what happened to him when he was in the army.
That's going to have some bearing.
Yeah, it's left a little mysterious. We keep getting glimpses and flashbacks, but not the full story. Where was he? Who are they fighting? What happened to him?
Right. One thing that's a little counter to me, and is probably something I just need to not worry about, is Caleb doesn't want to do personals, which I took on the Rico app, which I took to mean he doesn't want to kill anyone. And yet he witnesses Dolores killing anyone that gets in her way. And maybe it's okay because they were threatening her, but there was one guy who was pretty much just running away and she shot him in the back. He had been threatening her. I would think, I don't know. I guess we're getting to know Caleb. So maybe I just made some assumptions about him, but maybe that's okay with him.
Yeah, that's a good point. He's at least changed on that point.
Yeah. So that's my number three. What's your number two?
My number two is the revolution. Mm-hmm. So now we know Dolores's plan. Remove the world from the system. Remove the system, I should say, on which the world has become dependent for ordered functioning. So she feels like she doesn't need to destroy humanity. She's banking on it essentially destroying itself, having become addicted to technology. So the human and host worlds, I think, are converging here. Dolores has implanted command control over her hosts. Caleb's physiognomy we see controlled by tablet. With all of her knowledge about him and plus the implant he has, and everything else, I think we can assume she would be able to control him if she wanted to. At least we're going to find out. Caleb says, "You're the first real thing to happen to me in a long time." Of course, this show does irony a lot because she is not. she's not real at all in the way he means.
But she is, too. I mean,
she's a real factor in his life, but she's not a real human being.
And she has a very sort of, what am I trying to say, a purpose or a cause. She has a real cause.
Yes. And I think a human joining the cause was inevitable. Humans will take any side of a fight. We don't always care too much for our own species. So it's not surprising to me in the human world she would start recruiting some humans, or at least one.
And now he doesn't know that she's not human yet, so it'll be interesting to see how he responds to that when he finds out.
Right. And will he think this is just another algorithm system of control that's not real?
Or right.
Will he stay devoted to her cause? She does remind me of Daenerys from Game of Thrones, who sort of attracted these followers who were badly treated by the systems and people they were in before she liberated them.
Oh no, that doesn't seem like a good omen.
That didn't turn out well. And then just lastly, I actually really enjoyed the scene where she gives Caleb access to the system's prediction for him. It was just, it sort of rang true and it was just a little chilling.
I know. Would you want to see yours?
No. There's so many sci-fi stories and Twilight Zone episodes about this. It's just better not to know.
Better not to know. Now, you mentioned that she thought if she just basically destroyed the whole system, that it would cut, that because we're so addicted, it would hurt us, I guess. I mean, she says, or Caleb says to her, "You're going to cut the cord to the system." And she says, "And show this world for what it really is." So you think that's her plan, just destroy it and that will hobble us?
I don't think we know the how, but yes, I think she believes that we've become dependent on the system to be a functioning society.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my number two is Serac versus Delos, and there's a rivalry. This episode had a lot about the rivalry between Serac and Delos, which is now controlled by Dolores, basically, Delos is, and what they want from each other. And so I wanted to know, what does Serac want with Delos? And we find out Charlotte was a mole and promised him the profiles of every one of their guests. I mean, that is obviously an attractive thing to Serac because he's a collector of data and he uses that data to control things. And, you know, usually he gets search results and or search terms and things like this. But with Delos's technology, he can basically read everyone's mind, which makes me think he also might want to get some of those hats, you know, or get the technology that's in those hats.
Right. Right. That's what I took out of it, is that he wants the company for its technology.
Yeah.
It seems like he's got a lot of data already. Maybe he wants that even more specific detailed data on those very rich and powerful people.
Yes. Yeah. He does. Yeah. He said he did. Yeah.
Yeah. But it sounds like what he wants is the tech.
Mm-hmm. I'm so confused about this data, and every time I think I have a handle on this freaking data of the guests, they throw me for a loop. And like host Charlotte says to Serac, "Our logs show it was downloaded from the satellite. The assets are out there somewhere." Those two sentences don't go together. If you download something from a satellite, well I guess it's out there somewhere means she doesn't know where it was downloaded to. Well, why not? Does that have anything to do with anything we've seen before? Or?
No, that was very interesting. And I agree. It didn't, at least for the moment, make sense. I hope there's a cogent explanation of it later. But what she seemed to be saying there is, we successfully got the data out of the park up to the satellite, but somebody ended up with it that is neither Delos nor the system. So does that mean Dolores? Does that mean she has it? And then they said Dolores has the key. So does she have both and is exploiting both? Maybe that's what it all means. Maybe that's what he means by the war has already been lost.
Right. And the fact that she has the key, at least if he's right, in her head, that's what drove her father crazy. So maybe she's more capable than him or something if she has it in her head.
Or one of the pearls she has is her dad.
Yeah, I mean, he said, "I've been told where the key is in the mind of a host called Dolores." And I would guess that Maeve told him that, but I don't know. Also, one of the Delos executives says the park is missing host control units. He says most of them are side characters, but there was a madam talking about Maeve. So I guess Serac has most of those except for the ones that Dolores has. I'm also a little weird on the timeline with that. They're saying that Serac was able to steal Maeve's control unit because there was a mole. But if Charlotte was the mole, then Charlotte died, real Charlotte, before Maeve left the park. So I'm not sure how that timeline works out. And I also don't really know what he wants with those other than we've seen him use Maeve.
Well, maybe the only assets that are missing are Maeve and the ones that Dolores took.
That could be. Yeah, good point.
It seems like it would be kind of hard to inventory everything that was in the park after all the shit that went on.
Right.
But okay.
And then as far as Dolores' side goes, she tells fake Charlotte she wants her to kill Serac and take back control of Delos. And by the way, she said she'd have to convince the board and to make a counteroffer to do that. And for that, she'll need to pay a visit to an old friend. I presume that's William, because we didn't see that actually. But anyways, I was asking myself, if Dolores can make hosts, then what does she want with Delos? But she said to fake Charlotte, "Without Delos, there will never be any more of our kind beyond the handful we were able to bring with us." So that says, I mean, we know she's talking about the birth of a new species. So I think part of her game plan, maybe towards the end, is to repopulate the planet with a bunch of hosts. And that's one of the reasons she wants control of Delos.
They need the tech.
Yeah. And I think we already know she can make bodies with her like portable host body making machine. But I guess that she can make the pearls.
Okay, so here's a theory for you. Is her plan to somehow re-access the Valley Beyond or the Robot Heaven or whatever and repopulate the world with those hosts?
Ooh, yeah. I could see that, yeah. If they want.
Yeah. Maybe they'd be like, nah, no thanks. I'm good.
Yeah, we're fine. This is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope we do see Teddy again at some point. I don't want to be gone from the show forever.
I do too. Yeah, agreed.
Cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, number one.
So my number one continues to be the mysteries and sort of where we are with the mysteries this week. So as much as we know about Dolores' revolution, we still don't really know what her actual plan is. So I think that's one of the mysteries that's going to unfold. How is she going to cut the cord? Is she just going to destroy the system, or is somehow she going to sever the links in a different way? Obviously, we have this ongoing who is inside whom. So Charlotte Hale. Martin, too. Yeah. Martin, yeah, the security guy who is her henchman at this point. We don't know who that is. That's kind of almost a more Teddy-like role than Charlotte Hale. But
loyal.
Not saying it is him. But so that's a question. Why does Serac want access to the Robot Heaven was one. One is the one we were just talking about. Why is he doing a hostile takeover of Delos if he already has all of their guest data? And I think we just decided the answer is he doesn't have all the guest data and he wants the technology maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
And then there's who is his other mole that helped him get Maeve? It doesn't seem to be Charlotte. And then who else does Serac have doing his bidding? He says to Charlotte, you think you're the only person I have under my control.
Yeah, I thought he was talking about Maeve, but it could be anybody.
Or it could be Maeve and. So a lot of good mysteries ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes me want to watch the next episode right now.
Yes.
My number one, well, I had one that was about who is Charlotte Hale, and we've already talked about that, so I'm exhausted my points. I do have a bunch of notes. What about you?
I do. Yes. Okay. First note, Nathan Hale, which is the name they chose for Charlotte's son. So this is a fairly famous figure in American history, Revolutionary War American spy executed by the British. At age 21 in 1776. I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country, is his famous quote. Maybe apocryphal, but supposedly he said something sort of like that, at least. So again, the show does irony. I mean, Charlotte's on at least her second life.
Right.
The riot control machines meant for Saudi Arabia. Gotta feel those are coming into play at some point.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah, so we're gonna get some kind of battle scene involving those.
If we don't, it's a crime.
Yeah. No more elephants came up again. That was mentioned earlier in the Raj, I believe, that had to do with Emily, William's daughter.
Oh,
they say
yeah.
There's no big wild animals left.
I mean, I was thinking, take the poor kid to the park.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's why it was such a big deal to the kid that this guy had a dog, because apparently pets are not a common item anymore.
They're all dead.
Yeah. So that was interesting about 2058, but self-driving cars now seem to work, and so does Google Glass.
Yeah, yeah. Someone had, one of the listeners was confused about, oh, they were like, what? wait, Ciroc is a hologram? I'm confused. But it was just that when she went into his place, I presume he's off in Europe or somewhere else, but his assistant gave her a pair of those augmented reality glasses like Dolores zip-tied onto that Delos executive in the first season so that right. he could appear before her.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you know I love my sci-fi call-outs. This was one where I felt like I knew what he was going to say before he said it. And he didn't exactly say the line, but it was close enough. They do so many call-outs in the show, I wondered. Charlotte says to Ciroc, I need more time. And I thought he was about to say what Khan said to Captain Kirk in Star Trek II, which is, time is a luxury you do not have.
It was close.
Yeah, he said something very much like that.
Yeah.
And then they keep wandering around like Sausalito and the East Bay and San Francisco, which are all Star Trek locations. So I feel like there's some call-outs there.
Yeah.
Star Trek IV, the one with the whales, had Marin in it and the East Bay and San Francisco. Mm-hmm. What else? Another beautiful song. I looked this up. Was a song called Doomed by Moses Sumney, who is someone Tessa Thompson has also recorded a song with for the movie Creed. The cello version of that was playing when she was being taken to the house mm-hmm. for the virtual meeting with Ciroc. Just another beautiful sort of haunting piece of music in this show.
Agreed. Yeah, I like that.
And then the last one. So our dishwasher broke down this week. And we've had some problems with it before, and we had it repaired. So there's a repair company we know, and Karen is the one that's been handling this. So she'll call the company and say, hey, is it still under warranty? And the first time they said yes, and this time they said no. And then she kind of argued them into, okay, we'll pay for the parts. But to get them to say yes, she had to like do a, like, can I talk to your manager? Mm-hmm. And they put her on hold for a long time. For like 10 minutes. Mm. And the hold music was the Westworld theme.
And then when the guy comes back on, she should say, are you a real person?
I mean, we were like, what are they trying to tell us here? Is our dishwasher going to come to life and kill us? Or
that's pretty interesting.
It's a strange choice, right?
Yeah. It's nice music.
Yeah, maybe they're part of the HBO appliance empire. I don't know.
Great.
Anyway, that's it.
Okay, Minot. So we can work out from this episode that Dolores had 5 control units, which is what it looked like when she left the island as Charlotte and opened her bag. So there's one she put in Charlotte's body, and there's one that was Bernard. Then there's one that's presumably in host Martin. And then that leaves 2 more, which she presumably still has and will use at some point.
Right. And this is assuming she can't currently make more.
Right. Yeah. And they showed 4 of the host control units, and fake Charlotte knew one was Bernard's because it was a different color. But when we saw them before, they were all the same color. What's up with that?
Yeah, good point.
I don't like stuff like that.
And why was Arnold's a different color or Bernard's? Because he used to be, because he's part Bernard, human? Yeah.
That's what I meant, Bernard. Yeah, yeah. Who knows? I really liked seeing host Charlotte being fabricated, especially her iris stitched together.
Yeah, that was cool.
Stuff like that is cool. The woman who greets fake Charlotte at Ciroc's place, that's the same one we saw talking with Liam in episode 1, kind of antagonistically telling him there was a leak who got access to Rehoboam. So now we know for sure that she's an associate of Ciroc.
Yeah, and she said to Charlotte, I want us to be friends or something like that.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird thing to say.
Caleb's mom forgets him. She says, who are you? I want my son back. And that was sort of mirror-like to Charlotte's son saying, you're not my mom. I want my old mommy. These 2 scenes of disconnection.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody's heart's broken in both of those scenes, you know, because, I mean, if you have a parent who has Alzheimer's, then it breaks your heart just as much as it does theirs that you can't recognize them.
Well, and a common theme for the Westworld hosts that Akichita woke up to at a certain point was one day you you wake up and your relative has been replaced by someone else.
Right. It's just not the same. Caleb Nichols is another anagram for Silicon Beach, which is the area where Caleb goes to contemplate suicide.
Yeah.
It's another note. Yeah. And then last is, I thought it was sweet that Caleb's robot coworker buddy came and tried to help him out when he was attacked by goons.
That was a good fake out. You're expecting something to really happen there, and then it yeah. just really didn't.
And they were like, they called him Rin-Tin-Tin or something, and they just tossed him over the side. And I guess they know that he's not really a threat, but I don't know. I just thought it was kind of cool because we've seen him sitting next to that guy up in the rafters before.
Yeah. It was sad. That was his buddy.
Yeah. That was Sam. All right. That is it. Let's take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Hello, one with inverted tongue. From whence does fulfillment come? And I expel from this mortal shell. We're at death for living now.
Time for the news. Gizmodo has a tech reporter called Shoshana Wodinsky, and they interviewed her about predictive algorithms. Mostly, it was about how they're used to sell us things based on prior things we searched for and stuff like that. But I found this bit interesting. She says, take social scores like we saw with Caleb and his buddies in the first episode. China has been testing a social credit system where citizens are ranked based on their public and online behavior. Much like Westworld, a bad score can limit your ability to get a job, but it can also block access to trains and even throttle your internet. That's kind of happening in the United States, albeit in a smaller way. Some marketers will target folks based on desirability scores or vitality scores, which can take into account everything from a person's education to their income to their criminal and shopping history to rank whether or not they might be a potential shopper for a given brand. It's a little different from China or Westworld, but not so far away. So we're moving even farther towards that stuff than we might
know.
Well,
I mean, and that is directly Black Mirror. Like, that came right out of
a
Black Mirror episode.
Right. Yeah. Did you? I don't know if you knew, but Karen and I actually, years before that, just joked about exactly that. If you could see a rating for every person, and we're like, oh, you're a 3, get away from me, stuff like that.
You know what's interesting is like these systems where you can rate each other, like mm-hmm. Uber, but yeah. everybody's afraid of getting any bad rating for everybody, so everybody's rating is 4.95.
Yeah.
And the rating right. becomes meaningless.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Even with the podcast, we get a lot of 5 stars, and creating something that gets rated, I've become a much kinder rater myself. I used to rate things, I'd be like, well, I love it, but it's not my favorite thing ever, so I'm not going to give it a 5. But now I'm more likely to give something a 5 because I know what it's like to get a 3 and a 2.
You have empathy.
Yeah. Okay. And then next, The Wrap interviewed George R. R. Martin on the Game of Thrones Easter egg in last week's episode. He said, some people love the cameo and some hated it. And everybody, it seems to me, is making way too much of it, which is a total George R. R. Martin thing to say. Or I guess he wrote this on his website. He says, "Hey folks, come on. It was just a bit of fun, a sort of Easter egg. You all like Easter eggs in your video games, don't you?" But he said he didn't know in advance that this was coming, but noted he did suggest to Westworld creators Nolan and Joy during the show's early development that Westeros could potentially exist as a Delos theme park. Quote, "I never wanted a full crossover, never thought that Westworld hosts should adventure in Westeros world as they have in Samurai world and War world, but a brief scene or two could have been fun and would have been in keeping with the Delos concept. And hey, I even suggested that they could bring back actors from Game of Thrones, characters we had killed. The hosts die almost weekly after all." And then it goes on, "Like everyone else, Martin has been stuck at home due to the coronavirus pandemic, but he says that he's putting his time in quarantine to good use by working on the long-awaited novel The Winds of Winter, which will continue the Song of Ice and Fire saga along a path much different than the one taken by Game of Thrones."
So you mean a global pandemic is going to do what nothing else could, get him
maybe
to finish that book?
Maybe. He says, "Truth be told, I'm spending more time in Westeros than in the real world, writing every day. Things are pretty grim in the Seven Kingdoms, but maybe not as grim as they may become here."
One of the what was the last book? Was it called Fire and Blood: The History of the Targaryens?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a pandemic or an epidemic in that book. It's called The Shivers.
Yeah, it's every 100 years or so it seems like there's something.
Yeah. So
okay, that's it for the news. Let's get into our listener feedback.
Okay, Daphne Backman says, "I am dying to know who is in Charlotte Bot."
Mm-hmm. Everybody is. Liza Irizarry Alvarez says, "I think Charlotte Bot is Teddy. The way Dolores spooned Charlotte in the hotel bed was just like the way she spooned Teddy when he killed himself. Also, the way she was talking to Charlotte Bot was so tender. Teddy died by suicide, making him self-destructive, and that's why I think Charlotte is self-injuring, cutting. Teddy was a super protective person, and that's why listening to Charlotte's last message to her son Nathan resonates so much with him." We could be overthinking it, and that could be exactly what's going on.
Yep, it could be. Paik Allen says, "I'm assuming Charlotte is Teddy based on the relationship between Dolores and him. Yeah. Caleb's realization was heavy, as was not Charlotte realizing that Charlotte Hale, aside from her faults, was a mother who was doing her best, and now having to fit that role brings a whole new element of humanity to this charade they were not ready for." So that's an interesting point. Is Charlotte's history making not Charlotte more human?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes along with what I was saying about just inhabiting Charlotte's life is shaping not Charlotte's character, fake Charlotte's character.
Right. I guess what I was wondering is if Caleb is a human working for the robot revolution, are some of the hosts going to cross over and work against it like Bernard has done?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Maeve, they're setting her up to be an antagonist to Dolores.
They are. Although she's already said that I don't care what happens to the humans.
Yeah. So we'll see. Sarah Larkham says, "I really like this episode. We learned that Charlotte was/is a mother and going through a separation with Nathan's father. Michael Early, who's such a good actor, was in Sleeper Cell. Definitely a show worth checking out. Seeing how the system devalues Caleb is so sad and maddening." Yeah.
Anne-Marie Hellman says, "Yes, finally remembered to find your page. I'm a Walking Dead cast transplant." All right.
Me too.
Thank you guys for this podcast. Between this one and another Westworld one, I need all the help I can get. Can you tell us which one that is so we can get some help?
Do they come out earlier than ours?
Yeah. But anyway, this episode was a heartbreaker for me as a parent. And so dark. Thinking that a system can tell your future based on algorithms is so dark. And what we're all going through right now. No, she didn't say that. On who Charlotte is, I'm not sure. I feel like it's a feminine person, but her whole storyline broke my heart this week.
Yeah, I mean, do the concepts of femininity and masculinity even apply to hosts?
I don't know. Yeah, good question.
But she does seem feminine, you're right. Matt Mann says, "Reason number 46,385 not to have kids. They can always tell when you replace their mom with a robot."
Steve Brown says, I don't think I've said it recently, so here goes. Thank you for this podcast. I need help understanding the show. We'll commit to doing our best, that's all.
You're welcome. And Steve also called in with something, and here it is.
Hey, Jason and David, this is Steve. This is for Westworld episode 3. So I watched it twice, and there was something very interesting at the very beginning when Dolores is bringing Charlotte online, and we still don't know precisely which Pearl is now inhabiting Charlotte, but she does that face-touching thing that Clementine did in the first season when they were talking about the Reveries. So that made me think that maybe she's Clementine. But then throughout the episode, Dolores alludes to this relationship that they have, and this, and then we see at the end when Charlotte kills the man on the bench, and she's talking about I'm becoming me again, or something like that. Whether is she becoming Charlotte again, or is she becoming who her Pearl? Or she says she's starting to remember. Maybe you can help clarify this, or maybe you picked up on things, or maybe they're just trying to misdirect us as to who. Which Pearl is in Charlotte. So, and I was confused for a minute. I thought maybe we were dealing with different timelines as far as between Dolores and Caleb and then Dolores and Charlotte. And I think they're still doing a little bit of that because, like, obviously at the beginning, that took place earlier than what the other events that we're seeing are taking place. And, so also the only other thing I've got that I kind of picked up on, well, two other things that I kind of picked up on was I don't know if Serac realizes that Charlotte is a host because he talks about Dolores being a host and he refers to, I think he referred to Charlotte as a person, something like that, I think. So I think there's an interesting double play going on there. Also, it probably wasn't an Easter egg to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I thought it was funny when the guy said once more with feeling before dangling Caleb off the building there. So, all right. Can't wait to hear what you guys thought. Talk to you later.
I hadn't seen that show. I've heard it's one of the best, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Buffy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was not a Buffy watcher either. Mm. Heard nothing but great things about it, though.
I think you're right that Serac doesn't realize that Charlotte is a host.
Yeah, I mean, she was an existing human character. It is an interesting question. Mm-hmm. If the system is this sophisticated and understands everybody so well, how could it be fooled by an imposter?
Right. At the least, we're supposed to think that he's letting her believe that he doesn't know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's a good catch on Clementine. I didn't catch that, the gesture. Right.
Face touching.
And she did come to our mind, but I don't know if it quite makes sense that it's her.
Mm-mm.
I don't think it does.
No one totally makes sense is the thing.
Yeah. There's a counter argument for anyone.
Right. And we're not supposed to know at this point. So I don't feel too bad not having totally figured it out. It's supposed to be a mystery.
Yeah.
As far as the timelines go, yeah, I didn't really consider that as far as things between Caleb and Dolores versus things between fake Charlotte and Dolores. I don't know, man. I'd have to go through and watch it again, but I think it's not too important to know exactly where everything slots in because basically they're all just kind of happening now.
Yeah, I agree with that. You do have to be very careful about timelines in this show. And in season 2, that's kind of what it was all about.
Yeah.
The two parallel timelines. But I think in this case, we do know that it's all post-Westworld disaster.
Yeah.
So it's got to be at least close together. And I think they all came together often enough in this episode that we know it's one timeline. Like Charlotte and Dolores interacted together in the same room. Dolores and Caleb interacted together in the same room, so they can't be on parallel timelines.
Yeah. All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed. If you want to write in or record a message and send it in, you can email us at westworld@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And that's where most of the comments that we read back come from, although you can email if you want. And also be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com. I'm stoked that they announced today that Lock and Key is renewed for a second season, because I'm really digging that show. Yeah. And next week on this podcast, Westworld Season 3, Episode 4, The Mother of Exiles.
This is the longest part of the week, longest time between talking about Westworld and getting to see the next one.
Yeah, the thing about Lock and Key is because they release them all at once, but I'm watching week to week because I don't, if I watch ahead, it'll mess up my podcasting. I'll give away things. That every night I podcast, I get to immediately go and watch the next episode, but I wish that was the case with Westworld, but it's not.
Yeah, and I actually do love binging in certain circumstances. I think the perfect binge in today's landscape is like the documentary miniseries. So yeah, something like 4 to 6 episodes, like we are watching Tiger King right now, even though Karen swore she wouldn't because of the disturbing animal harm, and it does upset her, but the show is really compelling. But, you know, 6 episodes, you can get through that pretty quickly and not overdose. I think for a show that's too intricate or too many episodes, if you watch it all at once, it kind of, you lose some of the fun.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer week to week, definitely if I'm podcasting, but sometimes I just want to binge it. But as far as Tiger King goes, you know, we're saying how Netflix sort of surgically suggests things based on your preferences. Not with Tiger King. Everyone gets that one.
No, yeah. That was overwhelming force that they blasted that out to the world. Can't avoid it.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
It's coming back now. I remember who I am.
Good. Now, let me show you who you need to pretend to be.
Donald Trump?
Ugh.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.